We're up to Daf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, three lines into the page. Just to review what we're talking about. Rav Huna had a chiddush. Rav Huna said like this. Our Mishnah talked about that if you have an item, let's say an item is stolen from a Shomer Chinam, so he's Potter. So he has two choices. He could swear that it was stolen, or if he wants to avoid swearing, he could just pay. That was the Mishnah. Rav Huna comes and he says it's not so pasha like that. You can't just pay. There's no such option of paying. You're going to have to swear either way. Why? You still have to swear the original Shavua that you had the option was swear that it was stolen. I don't want to swear it's stolen, I'll just pay. It sounds like from the Mishnah, I can just pay cash and just walk home. It's not it. Rav Huna says, even if you choose not to swear, you're still going to have to make another swear, another oath, that you don't have it still. We're afraid that you have it in your pocket. We have to make sure that you didn't steal it. So even if you want to pay, you'll still have to make a shavua. That was Rav Huna's chiddush. The Gemara then says, I think Rav Huna's wrong. Why? The Gemara brought this following braisa that the Mishnah that had four cases. Okay, what we're focusing on is the second case, but it's all the same case. It's basically like this. I used Mr. Lawrence yesterday for the example, so I'm going to keep it just for the recording's sake. I'll keep it the same name. I lend you $100. You give me a wallet as collateral. I lose the wallet. That's the case. In every scenario, that's the case. So the second case is as follows. I say, again, I lost the wallet. That's on me. I lent you $100. You gave me a wallet. So I said, the wallet was worth $50. You still owe me $50. You respond, no, it was worth $75. I acknowledge, amoda b'mixis. I acknowledge I owe you some money, but I do not owe you $50. I owe you $25. Says the Mishnah, there has to be a shvua. Okay. Now, who should make the shvua, Pashtus? Him. He owes me the money. He's acknowledging he owes me $25. I think he owes me $50. That's called my mixes. He should make a shvua. Says the Gemara, no. I make the shvua. Why? Because we're afraid that I'm going to make him make the shvua, which is classic. He'll make the shvua. What's his shvua going to be? His shvua is going to be, I borrowed $100. The wallet that I gave him as collateral he lost, I swear, was worth $75. I only owe him $25. That'll be the shavua. That's what should be the shavua. We're afraid that he's going to swear that the wallet's worth $75. I pull the wallet out of my pocket. I'm saying, everyone see this? It says $50 on it. He's a liar. Russia. Puzzle. Edus. To avoid this, they make me swear. Here's the problem. If what you're telling me, Rav Huna, if what you're telling me is correct, that every time an item is lost, the person who lost it has to make a shavua that it's gone anyway. So what's the concern? You're concerned. Again, we're making, instead of Mr. Lorch making the shavua, instead of the borrower making the shavua, you're making me make a shavua. Why? Because we're afraid. If he makes a shavua, I'm going to pull the wallet out of my pocket that it was lost. I'm going to say, oh, here it is. He lied. If I have to make the shavua anyway, if Rav Huna's right, that's the top of Amit Lamed Hayim and Aleph, then Isla de Rav Huna. If Rav Huna's correct that anytime an item is gone, you have to make a shavua anyway that you don't have it, so I have to make a shavua anyway I don't have the wallet. So now what's the concern? I make the shavua that I don't have the wallet, and now we still can't make a shavua. Why? Because we're afraid that after he swears, I'm going to pull the wallet out. I just swore that it's gone. What's the concern? Why are we not letting the borrower make the shavua, which is what should be, making me make the shavua, to avoid this trap? What trap? I already have to make a shavua. The item's gone. Once I swear the item's gone, what are you worried about? How am I going to pull it out of my pocket? I just swore that it's gone. So the Gemara gives like four or five cases of how it's possible. Answer number one, Amar Rava, Shish Edim Shenisrafa. Normally, Rava says, you're right, you do have to make a shavua that the item is gone. In this case, you can't because there are witnesses that the wallet was burnt in a fire. So, okay. Meaning, normally you have to make a shavua that you don't have the item, but over here you don't have to, and that's why there's a concern that you'll pull out the wallet. Why don't you have to? Because over here there are witnesses that the wallet was burnt in a fire. If the wallet's burnt in a fire, how are you going to pull it out of your pocket? Says the Gemara, you tell me the case is that normally you have to make a shavua. Over here is the exception because over here we have Edim that the wallet was burnt in a fire. So how are you worried that I'm going to pull it out of my pocket? There are Edim that just said it's gone. Whereas, okay, fair. Elamar Rav Yosef, yish Edim shenignava. Okay, fair. Rather, Rav Yosef says, generally, I would have to make a shavua that the item is gone. But in this case, I didn't. Why? This is the exception because we had Edim that the wallet was stolen. Same problem. If I have Edim the wallet stolen, how am I putting it out of my pocket? Says the Gemara, Saif Saif Mehechim Aisila. Again, normally, who should make the shavua in the second case of the Mishnah? The borrower, Mr. Lynch. He should make the shavua because he's moda that he owes me money. But we're making me make the shavua because we're afraid that if he makes a shavua, I'm going to pull the wallet out of my pocket and prove that he's a Russia. So Gemara says, I thought I have to make a shavua, the wallet's gone. And he says, no, I normally do, but over here, there are Edim that the wallet was stolen. So how am I pulling it out of my pocket? Says the Gemara.
I understand. We're assuming everybody's lying.
No.
I'm saying he's borrowing money. Why would you think that he's lying?
All right, we're having a disagreement as to how much money is owed. One of us is lying. I'm saying he owes me 50. He says he owes me 25. I mean, you want to say that someone's misunderstanding each other. There's something going on. This is not a classic. This is not two tzaddikim. This is someone's not right. There's a right and a wrong. So the Gemara says the case is where the wallet is stolen, and therefore I don't have to make a shvua. Normally, I'd have to make a shvua that the wallet is gone. I don't have it, and therefore normally I would not be concerned about pulling the wallet out of my pocket. But over here, I don't have to make the shuva because they're eidim that the wallet's stolen. So the Gemara says, if they're eidim, the wallet's stolen, how are you pulling it out of your pocket? The answer is, the taruchu ma'isila. We're afraid that here's the case. If we allow Mr. Lorch, the borrower, to swear that the item is worth 75 and he owes me 25, I'm going to pull the wallet out of my pocket. The Gemara says, I thought you make a shuva. I didn't have to make a shuva this time because I have eidim that it was stolen. If you have eidim that it's stolen, how are you getting the pocket? Here's the case. Eidim that it's stolen, I'm going to track down the ganef, beat him up, grab the wallet back, and then show up to court with the wallet. So that's why we're concerned. Normally, I wouldn't be concerned because normally I'd have to make a shvua. But over here, I don't make the shvua because I have aidin that it was stolen. If his aidin was stolen, how are you going to get the wallet? The answer is I'm going to track down the ganef. So the Gemara just has a very interesting question. Okay. We're having a debate as to how valuable the wallet is. Normally, he should make the shvua because he's mowed the mixes. But we're making me make the shvua because we're afraid I'm going to let him make the shvua at the value of the wallet, pull the wallet out of my pocket. The case is the wallet's stolen. He could get the wallet back just as much as I could. It's a matter of race to get the ganef. So we're letting me make the shvua. Why aren't we concerned about the same thing? Mr. Lorch is going to let me swear. I'm going to swear that I lent him $100. He was giving me a wallet that was collateral worth 50. I swear that it was worth 50. I swear I lost it. I swear he owes me 50 bucks. He then is going to pull the wallet out of his pocket. And he'll say, well, how'd he get it? Well, it was stolen. So the same way you're concerned that I'm going to track down the thief, why can't he track down the thief? This is a case where we're both arguing about the value of the wallet. But we're both going to have to swear about the value of the wallet. So the reason why we're not letting him swear is because if he swears about the value of the wallet, I'm going to pull the wallet out of my pocket, prove he's a liar. How'd you get the wallet? Well, stolen, we might track down the thief. He could also track down the thief. So don't let me swear, because I'm also going to swear. He's going to prove I'm a liar. Like, why aren't you concerned? If you're concerned, if the wallet, it's not like I have the wallet. The wallet's gone because it was stolen. Now we're arguing about it, so you're not going to let him swear because I could pull the wallet out of my pocket. How do you get it? I track down the thief. Why can't he track down the thief and prove I'm a liar? So the answer is very practically, Bishloim malve yodem an ka'ayil v'nafik mebeisiv asal taruch ha'maisila. Eloiva mi yodem ayin v'ayil v'nafik mebeisiv malve. The answer is, there's more of a chance that I would track down the thief because I have cameras. It was stolen from my house. There's more of a concern. I know who comes to my house. I could check the cameras. There's more just on a practical level. It is easier for me to track down a thief when the item is stolen from my house than for him to track down a thief when the item is stolen from my house. Just practically easier. We're more concerned. I'll look at the cameras. I'll know who came in. I'll start investigating. And therefore, there's more of a concern that I will go track down the thief and get the wallet back as opposed to Mr. Lorch. How would he? He'd have to guess who stole it from my house. It's not much more difficult.
I was saying, Shmuel, I may be confused, but you're saying that there's at least a value of 25 in it.
So no, we're actually...
proven you're not really lying.
No, we're actually swearing the value of the wallet. Part of the oath would be, I swear the wallet was worth 50 and 50 alone. He would be swearing that the wallet was worth 75 alone. One of us will be, I'm not going to say you're an evil liar, it's a mistake, but one of us will be proven to be false, lying under oath. That's the first explanation. As again, the problem was, we make, normally the borrower would make the oath. We're making the lender make the oath, which is kenega the process of the Torah, because we're afraid. If he makes the oath, I'm going to pull the wallet out of my pocket. The problem is, according to Rav Huna, you generally have to make a shvua that the wallet's gone. So if I made a shvua the wallet's gone, how am I going to pull the wallet? So answer one is that normally you have to make the shvua, but over here there's aiden that it was stolen. And we're afraid that you'll... Answer number two is much more simple. You know what the case is? I'll make a shvua. Here's the case. Even if I make a shvua, the wallet's gone. I'm still afraid he's going to pull the wallet out of his pocket. How? I'll say I found it. Whatever. I'm willing to lie. Like, if you take lying into account. So really the answer is, again, the question is, why do we not let Mr. Lurch, the borrower, make a shvua? That's what should be. Why are we making the lender make a shvua? Because we're afraid I'm going to pull the wallet out of my pocket. Entrapment. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. I thought I have to make a shvua, the wallet's gone. The answer is, you do. So how are you going to pull the wallet in your pocket? I'm going to say I found it. Okay, whatever. Okay, yeah, I'll lie. Oh, gracious Christ. I'll lie. I'll say I found it. Okay, so therefore... It says on the wallet it has a price tag. It says $50. And therefore it'll prove that I entrapped him. I got him. He's a liar. That's the second explanation. The third explanation is, Rav Ashi says, your entire premise is wrong. What's the entire premise of the question? The question is, who makes the shvua in the second case? Normally it should be the borrower, Mr. Lurch, because he's the one who's made the mixes. But over here it's me. Why? Because we're afraid of the whole trapping thing. I thought I have to make a shvua. The answer is, no, he does make the shvua. The answer is, you're wrong. Your premise is wrong. I make a shvua that I don't have the wallet. He makes a shvua the value of the wallet. Your entire premise is wrong. The whole, and when it says that I make the shvua, what it means is I make the shvua first about my wallet not being in my domain. The whole premise that he does not make the shvua is incorrect. He does. I also make a shvua. I make a shvua that I don't have the wallet, rendering me unable to trap him. He then makes a shvua the value and how much he owes. Very simple. The whole premise that he doesn't make the shavua is incorrect. Rav Ashi Yomar, Zen Ishva Zen Ishva. You're wrong. They both make a shavua. Zen Ishva Shen Ishva Shusai. I, the lender, still, I start off the proceedings by saying, I swear I don't have the wallet. V'zen Ishva Kama Shav. And then you swear the value and how much you owe. V'hachi Gomar. And all it means when it says, I swear, it doesn't mean I swear is to the exclusion of him. It means I swear first. So I swear first to avoid the case of entrapping. But he does make a shvua. The entire question was on false premises. Marge says one more point. Okay, again, Rav Huna's point is that anytime an item that you're debating about, a pikadon, is lost, you have to swear you don't have it. We had four cases. And we were focusing on the second case. The Gemara says, let's focus on another case from yesterday. And you'll see that it's Vaiter a problem. The Gemara says like this, Rav Huna bar Tachlif Moshe de Rava Omar, Reisha de Seifa Tziof de Rav Huna. I have another problem with Rav Huna from the third case. What's the third case? Sell of Isichlach. I lend Mr. Lorch $100. He gives me a wallet as collateral. I lose the wallet. He claims Shtayim Hayashav. I lent him $100. He claims the wallet's worth $200, meaning he claims I owe him $100 now. I respond, Loiki, no. Elasela Visicha Sevel Hayashav. I say, no. The wallet was worth $100, and I don't owe you anything. So now the question is, I lent him $100. He gave me a wallet as collateral. He claims the wallet was worth $200, making me owe him $100. I respond, no, the wallet was worth $100. I owe you nothing, even Stephen, we're good. The halach is potter. Why? I don't have to make a shua because I'm not made the b'mixes. I'm kofer akol. I claim I owe him money. Nothing. He claims I owe him 100. I claim I owe him zero. The halach is that when you're not made the b'mixes, you're completely exempt. I'm exempt from a shvua. That's the halacha. That was the third case yesterday. Easy. Here's the problem. Again, in this case, he claims I owe him 100. I claim I owe him zero. Do I have to make a shvua? No. Here's the problem. If Rav Huna's right that every single court case, when an item is gone, the court case begins with, I pick up my right hand and I say, I swear the item is not in my domain. According to Rav Huna, every single case, you have to start with that. So here's the question. Why can't he get me to swear? It's called a Gilgal shvua. The rule is that when you're kofer akol, you can't get him to swear, unless he's swearing anyway. See, here's the problem. If Rav Huna's right that every court case begins with me making a shvua that I don't have the wallet, that has to start, like every single one, before you even start, so then in this case, I don't have to make a shvua at all. Why? Because he says I owe him 100, I say I owe him zero. So, kofer akol. But if I'm making a shvua anyway that I don't have the wallet, while I'm up there, get me to make a swear I don't owe him $100. If Rav Huna's right that you're already making him make a shvua, that's called Gilgal Shvua. Gilgal Shvua means that once you're swearing about A, we will make you swear about an ancillary Shvua. That's the concept of Gilgal Shvua. So once I'm getting up there to swear that I don't have the wallet, once I'm up there anyway, throw in the $100. So the Gemara says, I have a question for the third case. What's the third case? There's no shavua because I'm kofer akol. But wait a minute. If Rav Huna is right that every single court case begins with me swearing I don't have the wallet, then migu de mishtav and mal v'shein b'shus. So once I already swear I don't have the wallet, once I'm up there, lishtav enami al gilgal shvua, kama hiyashav, then get me to make a second shvua about the value of the wallet. Once you're up there anyway, then just throw it in. So the Gemara says, the answer is like, it's such a tough answer. The Gemara says, again, the premise is that if I have to start every court case by saying I don't have the wallet, then throw in the value. So you know what the answer is? The Gemara is Amr Avashi, Amris L'Shmaita Kamid Rav Kahana, V'Amrli, Tehebe Mamino. You know what the case is? Normally, I have to get up and say, again, the whole premise of the court case is I don't have the wallet. I have to get up and say, according to Rav Huna, I have to start every single court case by say, I swear I don't have the wallet. So the question is, once you're swearing anyway, throw in the value. You know, the answer is, normally you have to make a shvua. But in this case, Mr. Lorch, the, I guess, plaintiff, says, I trust him. If he says he doesn't have the wallet, he doesn't have to make a shvua. I trust him. Very strange thing, because we're clearly debating about the value. Tepa mamino. Normally you have to make a shvua. In this case specifically, the borrower says, I trust him. If he says he doesn't have the wallet, he doesn't have to swear. See, here's what, wait a minute. So think about it. We're arguing of the value of the wallet. He doesn't trust me about the value whatsoever. But now we're saying the reason why normally you have to swear, so why don't I have to swear in this case? Because Mr. Lorch, the plaintiff, says, if he says he doesn't have the wallet, I trust him. Don't make him swear. Says the Gemara, Tehi b'maminoi. So the Gemara says, V'nahamalei l'mal v'nami b'makam al yeshav. Wait a minute. So if you're telling me, let's go mamash this case. I'm the defendant. So I'm about to get up and say, I don't have the wallet. Mr. Lorch is like, I trust Avi. He's a good kid. He doesn't have to make a swear. So I say, you know, we're arguing about the value of the wallet. If you trust me that I have the wallet, I don't have the wallet, why don't you trust me about its value? So the Gemara says, Loy kim lebeva. Mr. Lorch responds, I don't trust you that much. Meaning, I trust that you don't have the wallet. I don't think you know values. Meaning, I believe that you're not pocketing the wallet and setting me up for a trap. I don't believe that you know the value of the wallet. Okay. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. If you're telling... Yeah, fair enough. Oh, we're going to get to that. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. If you're telling me the case is that they trust each other, or at least there's a possibility of, like, once you trust each other, you're not going to make the shvua, then nehamli malve leloive dekim lebegave. So the Gemara says, then why don't we ever trust... nehamli malve leloive, then the lender should trust the borrower dekim lebegaveyu. He should know how much it's valued. Meaning, whose wallet is it? It's his. So why wouldn't I trust him the value? The answer is, I don't trust him. Meaning, he trusts me. Basically, the only one that's being trusted at all in any form is me. I, the one who lent him the money, am trusted that I don't have the wallet still. But when it comes to the value, I don't trust him. He doesn't trust me. So the question is just, as an aside, why is there more likelihood that I would be trustworthy than he would be trustworthy? Like, there is a premise that we are somewhat trusting the lender. The borrower, in this case, was like, no trust at all. I don't trust him at all. He partially trusts me. He doesn't trust me with value, but at least trusts me that I'm not pocketing the wallet. I mean, we're both chayshin, think about it. I'm chayshin him that he's lying under oath. He's chayshin me, I'm partially lying under oath, but he knows he would never mess me up. Honest guy. So like, why is he not honest, but I'm honest? So the Gemara says, what is it that like, I'm trustworthy, he's not trustworthy. Well, what's the pshat? The answer is, loive mekayim lebmalve tomos yisharim tenachim. Malve mekayim bebaloive b'selef boigdim yishadim. Basically, what this means is, in people's minds at least, who am I in this case? Very existential question. Who am I? I am the lender. I'm the wealthy man who lent him money. He gave me a wallet as collateral. Not wealthy in this case. In people's minds, if you're wealthy, there's a certain schus that you had to have to get wealth, and that is honesty. And therefore, I am more trustworthy because I'm the wealthier guy. In his mind, the Gemara says, loive mekayim l'malve. The borrower applies to me, the lender, the following pasuk. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Tumos yisharim tenachim. The perfection of those that are righteous will lead you. Meaning that I had to do something right to become so wealthy. Mustam, I'm an honest guy. And therefore, he trusts me partially. But when it comes to the opposite, I say, he's poor. He's probably poor for a reason, probably dishonest. Again, I'm not saying this is the actual truth. I'm just saying in perception of people's minds, there's more of an honesty, more of a trustworthiness to the wealthy person. And therefore, the loive will trust the malva more than the malva will trust the loive. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
God, we trust all of
us. Let's finish up. This Amid is going to take us with the following story. This story is going to take us to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a wild Mishnah. Wild Mishnah, but we'll get there in a second. Okay, the following story. Understand the story very well. It's not complicated, it's just a story. Halu gavra de afkid kipi gabi chavre. Okay. Basically, I gave you earrings to watch. I gave Gavin earrings to watch. Amrle havle kipi. At the end of the week, I say, can I have the earrings back? So Amrle lo yadana hecha sivina. He says, and Gavin responds, I don't know where I put them. Not he knows he took them. I don't know where I left them. So the halacha is, he's a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is responsible for negligence, pshia. Saying you don't know where you put it is pshia. You are now obligated to pay for them. That's pretty aleph beis. Amar le, Rav Nachman said, kol lo yadana pshusahu, saying you don't know where you left it is a case of pshia. Zil shalim, you have to pay for the earrings. Fair. At this point is where it begins to take a turn. Loy shalim, he says, no. I don't want to. I don't like rabbis. I'm not interested. So, also Rav Nachman, agbil apte mine. Rav Nachman seized your house as payment. I guess it was very, very valuable earrings. They took your house as payment. So I now have your house to pay off the earrings. L'soy v'shtogach kibbe. Eventually, you find the earrings and you want to give the earrings back to me. So as we're going to see in a moment, what ends up happening is I take the earrings back, you get your house back. Pretty clean cut. Here's the problem. While the earrings were gone, they went up in value. They went up from 5,000 to 10,000. So the question is, who gets that? So, Yakir, Amr Rav Nachman, Hoder Kivel Merayu, Vahodja Pan Lamar. Rav Nachman says, you, Gavin, do not get to keep the added value of the earrings. You return them to me. I get the earrings, you get your house back. Now, here's the question. Why? We had a premise in the Mishnah that when Ishai Merchinam pays, he gets the future kefil. Right? The owner grants some future kefil. That's the whole premise of the Mishnah. So why don't you say this? When you paid for the earrings by giving me your house, you should get future earnings, which is the value of increase of the earrings. Why is that not what happened here? Again, when the Shem Mechina pays, he gets the future kefil. So you paid for the earrings by giving me your house. Why don't you get the future kefil, air quotes, which is, in this case, the increase of the value of the earrings. Why don't you get that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, very simply. Why is that when a Shem Mechina pays, he gets the future kefil? Because the owner is so moved by him being a good guy, he grants him the future kefil. You're not a good guy in this case. You didn't give me your house. It was taken from you by court. Meaning, if you would have just decided, listen, I'm going to pay for the earrings, I'm going to not get Beis Din involved, I'm going to be a good guy, I'm going to make your life easy, no shvua, here's the earrings, I'm going to pay for it, then yes, you would taka get future kefil, and you would get future, you would have acquired the earrings, and if the value went up, you would have gotten it. In this case, you didn't pay for the earrings. Court seized your house and gave it to me. You're not a good guy. You get nothing. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, have you seen a kambi there of Nachman? Rava says, interesting. Rava says, I was by Rav Nachman when this story happened. Upirkin hamafkid have it. And we were learning hamafkid. That's why it's in here. We were learning hamafkid. Amri law, and he said, Shilam v'lasli shava. So I asked him, I don't understand. The Shem Mechinim paid. He should get future kefil. So why doesn't he get the value of the increase? But Rav Nachman did not respond. Rav Nachman felt that the answer was posh. He didn't want to answer. And Rav says, it's a good thing he didn't answer because I understand very simply. And that is, my taima, hasam lo yachach lebezin, hach achach lebezin. You don't get it because you got Beis Din involved. You didn't pay. You're not a good guy. You made Beis Din seize your assets and give it to me. You don't get anything. Okay, now the Gemara just says one point, and this is going to take us to the Mishnah, and that is very, very important to understand what we're talking about. If court seizes your assets to pay off a debt, can you get it back? You see, in this case, you have my earrings. You lost them. You owe me $10,000 for the earrings. You don't pay. Court seizes your car, gives it to me. I'll go car instead of palace. Gives your car. You find the earrings. What's the case? Rabbi Nachman says, so give me the earrings, you get your car back. Is that the rule generally? That if court seizes a let's say you owe me $100, and the court says, "Well, you know, take his couch as payment," and then he comes in a day later with $100, I have to give it back to him. It sounds like over here that even when a court seizes your property, if you show up with money, you get the right to undo it. That's what seems like what happened over here. So the Gemara says, "Lamemer disavar Nachman." Should we deduce from Rav Nachman's statement to Shuma Hadar that property that's seized is reversed when you have the money to pay for it? So Gemara says, no, generally not. But over here, it's different. You see, generally, what's the case where a seized property seized by the court? The classic case is as follows. I lend you $100 and you don't pay me. So Beis Din will say, here's your seizing rights. go into his house and take his couch. In that case, if I take your couch and you show up a month later with $100, oh, yeah, I'm getting your $100. I like your couch. Over here, it's different. This was court seizing because you couldn't find my earrings. You didn't actually owe me money. You couldn't find them. Once you found them, then you realized there was never a claim against me. It was a toast. That's the point. It's not like where you borrowed money and then you just stopped paying. This is where you were my shimer. You couldn't find it. So you thought you owed me money. It turns out it was in your cupboard the whole time. You never owed me money. So that's why the seizing is undone. It says the Gemara, Shani Hasim, Deshumba Batos, Hava, Dekahava, Kiva Meikar. Fine. Now we're going to hear until the end of the Mishnah, we're going to talk about this seizing property, about undoing a seized property, basically paying to get your seized property back. I don't know if it's, there's a terminology in America, but that's what we're talking about. Amri Nardoi. Nardoi says like this, Shuma Hadar. I remember when I was in New Hampshire, when our car broke down, we got a ride with a big tow truck guy, and he told me that this is what he did. He worked for the city to seize property from people that couldn't pay payments, and he had to once go into a bar with where the Hell's Angels were, and he had to seize one of their motorcycles. And I just say, he was terrified because he's like, these guys kill people. So he says, though, he walked in, he said, he could have just taken it while they were drinking and just took off, but he said he knocked on the door, he went up to the head of it, and he said, I'm doing my job, I have to seize the property of his motorcycle. And he said the head of the gang was so impressed that he was like a man, honesty. He said, give him the keys. So the question like this. So the court seizes your property and then you want to buy it back. So Amri Nardai, Shuma Hadar. If you want to buy it back, you are obligated to give him back his property. He has the right to buy it back. Now, how long does he have the right to buy it back? I trace a yachashata for 1 year. For 1 year, if he shows up with the money, you are obligated to give him back any seized property. V'ami meimar, under Mardana, Amemar says, I'm actually from Nardoi, and Svirle, and in Nardoi, they actually believe Shuma Hadal Olam. There is no time gap. It could be 10 years later. If he shows up, he has the right to get his item back. V'hilchasa, what's the halacha? Shuma Hadal Olam. You always have to give it back. Why? That doesn't make sense. The answer is, Mishum Shenema, Asisa Hayashav Atayv. Do what's right. This guy, it's his item. He wants it back. You should do what's right and give it back to him. That's the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara says, Pshita. Now, very interesting. Shamu Leila Balchayv, V'ozil'iyu V'shamu Labalchayv Didei, Amrinule, Lo Yadifa At Mikabe Da'asimine. Basically like this. I owe Gavin $100. Court ordered he could seize my car. Shouldn't have given those numbers, but he seizes my car for $100. Now, again, I could buy it back from him. That's what we just got finished saying. 12 months or forever. Fine. I could buy it back. I show up at his door and I say, hey, I want to buy it back. I have $100. I want to buy the car back. And Gavin's like, I actually owed money to Menashe. I gave it to him as payment of my debt. The halacha is, I can then go to Menashe and say, I'm buying it back. Meaning, the same way I could buy it back from you when you gave your debtor money, the item as payment, he is in your stead. And the same way you have to give it back to me, he has to give it back to me.
When you say buy, there's a real Kenyan?
Yeah.
The car is mine.
Yeah. The point is, though, the same way you're obligated to sell it to me back, he's also obligated to sell it to me back because he is just going in your stead. Yeah.
We're assuming that all values are the same in this case. What if it's not?
I'm assuming, let's go easy. All the values, nothing changed. Yeah. Even Stephen, obviously, I don't know what the halacha will be if things change. You have to deal with that. But let's keep it the same. Now, here's the Gemara says. Zavna, urta, v'yav, matana, v'ada hani mikara, dait d'aranochas, v'laba dait d'zunichas. Here's the case, though. Again, I owe Gavin $100. I don't pay. Court ordered seizes my car. I knock on his door and I say, can I have it? And Gavin's like, I actually sold it to Menashe. The halacha is, Menashe does not have to give it to me. Because when he bought it, here's the thing. In the first case where Gavin owes money to Menashe, here's the deal. It's not like Menashe wants my car. He just wants money. So if I show up with $100, he's obligated to give it to me. But in the second case where you bought it, you wanted that item. You bought it. You didn't say, I want a value. You bought the item. You bought it assuming you would keep it. Therefore, Chazal do not allow me to take it from you. Therefore, so if I go to you, the one who seized the property, and you sold it to someone, or gave it as inheritance to someone, or gave it as a gift to someone, I cannot get it from them. Chazal would not make me give it over. Once they bought it with the intention of having that item, then Chazal do not make them give it to me, even though I have the value. Says the Gemara, Shamila. Oh, So we just got finished saying that if the person who seized it sold it to someone, I can't get it from them. So the Gemara has a rule. When a wife gets married, the husband is considered buying her assets. That I mean, what's the husband's relationship, let's say, with the Nichsim Alug, that he has the rights to it? How do you look at it? The Gemara always looks at it as a purchase. The husband bought the rights to her objects. Therefore, if she has a seized product, let's say something was seized, she took something that was seized, someone owed her money, didn't pay, court gave her the item as seized, then she gets married, the halacha is that person cannot get it back. Why? Because the second she gets married, the husband bought it, and we just got finished saying that when someone buys it, you can't get it back from them. The husband is considered a purchaser of her items. So the Gemara says, Shamla Ishav Insaba, or Shamina Ishav Insaba, Baal Nichse Ishre Lekeachav, the husband is considered purchaser vis-a-vis her items. And Loi Mahadar, and Loi Majinulai, and therefore you can't get the item back. How do I know the husband is considered a purchaser? Dam Rav Yosi bar Chanina, Beusha Eskinu. In Usha they were metaken. Aisha Shemachar Benichse Melug V'Chaye Baila Umesa Habal Moitzim Yad Alakuches. Go to the next page. The halacha is that if, let's say, a woman sells an item that the husband has the rights of the payers, so Nichse Melug, that means that it's her item, but the husband has rights, and she sells it. You know what the halacha is? The sale is not valid. Why? Because the husband can undo it. Why? Because the husband is considered the purchaser, meaning it's like he has a lien on the property before she sold it. Therefore, he has no rights to it. The Gemara just gets to the Mishnah, then we'll do the Mishnah. It won't take long. It's just wild. The Gemara says, Igva iu b'chayvay. Okay, one last point. Till now, we're talking about a case where, again, I owe Gavin $100. I refuse to pay. Court ordered, seizes my property. He takes my car. The halacha is I can buy it back. What if instead of court-ordered, what if I just give him my card? I say, listen, I can't pay you $100. I don't want to go to court. Just take my car. Then I show up a week later with my money. Can I buy it back? Do we look at it as like it's court-ordered? You say, no, you basically sold him your car for $100. So that's a machlekes. Agvi yubachayvay, pligi b'rabach b'ravina. Chadam or haja, chadam aloy haja. One person says you could buy it back. It's like a seized property. And says, no, if you didn't get the court involved, you lent me $100. I gave you my car. That's called a purchase. There's no backsies. So the Gemara says, "Man, damar lo hodja, the one who says you cannot return it. Savar ha'izavin ma'al yehu. He holds that it's a sale. It's a bona fide sale. Dehamedaita denashi agve, because you didn't get court involved, so it's not seized. What's seized? There's no court. It's just you gave him the item too late. Uman damar hodja, but the one who says that you could undo it. Savar lo'izavin ma'al yehu. He says, no, it's not a real sale. You think I wanted to give you my car? Of course not. I was just embarrassed and I didn't want to get court involved, so I sort of like seized the property on my own, but I can get it back. So if it's actually a seized property, why don't you just go to court? He's embarrassed to tell court that he can't pay off the thing. So he's sort of seizing his own property, but he gets the leniency of being able to buy it back. Now the question is like this: one last thing, and then we'll do the Mishnah. If, let's say, court ordered to seize my land, at what point? Again, I can't pay. Court ordered to seize my land. At what point can Gavin, who now has the seized land, at what point is it yours that you can now eat the produce of the land? So the Gemara says, Me'emes Achal Peri, three opinions. Rabba Omar Mechimati Adachti Liyadei. Rabba says, when you get the document of seizure, when they give you a document that says you can seize the land, from that moment on, when you get the document, it's yours that you can get the produce. Abaya Omar Eidel Chasum Zachle. Abaya says, even before that, once the document is even written up, even when you don't get it, even if it takes a couple days to ship, the document is written up, you could seize it. And Rava Amar, Michi Shlimo Yimei Achazarta. Rava says it's a little bit later. It's not when the document reaches your hand, it's when they announce officially that they're selling my land to him, trying to get the money, once it's officially, basically, once the actual land is transferred. Okay, next Mishnah is a wild Mishnah, very strange. I think all of us will follow Rav Yossi on this one, but we're going to start. Okay, quick rule before we start. The whole thing will take us about 10 minutes. Quick rule. The rule is that if an onus happens, a renter does not have to pay, but a borrower does. That's all you have to know. Okay. Hasoicher para mechavero. Let's go. The name's very simple. Throw in Zishi for those that are listening. I rent a cow from Zishi for $100. While I'm renting it, I lend it to Shilach, I lend it to Ben, okay? I lend it to Ben. So I rent a cow, and I lend it to Ben, okay? And then what happens, and I have permission to do this. Umeisa kedarka, while he's using it, oh no, just stop. While it's sleeping at night, it has a heart attack and it dies. So think about it, okay? I, the renter, do not have to pay. I swear that it was an onus. He has to pay. He pays me. We look at it, it's a wild thing. We look at it as the second it dies and I tell the original owner, I swear it was an onus, bye-bye, the original owner is sort of removed. The item becomes, now it's just me and him. Now he owes me a cow. So I made money off this. So I started with no cow, and I get a cow. It's a wild concept, you understand? So because, meaning the soicher, again, I start off with $100. I buy a $10,000, I rent a $10,000 cow for the week. Lend it to someone. Heart attack and dies. I swear to the original guy, the original owner says, where's my cow? Oh, onus, bye-bye, I swear. And then he leaves. Now it's just me and him. He owes me the cow because under his borrowing, an onus happened. He pays me a cow. I made a cow. So the Gemara says, that's the Mishnah. Yishav ha-soicher shemesa kedarka, v'ashay yisham l'soicher. Amr Ravasi, Ravasi says, ketzad ala oisus schayra. How could you make money? How do you make... Wait a minute. By the way, think of what happened over here. I have a cow. I rent it to you. You lend it to him. Cow dies. I lose a cow. You make a cow. Ravasi says, no way. No way you could make a cow on someone else's cow. No way. I get the cow. Okay. That's a machlekes. So again, it's a wild concept. Again, the borrower has to pay the cow for sure because it died under his watch. Who is he giving it to? The Tanakhama says the original owner is done. The second the renter, who he had the agreement with, swears that it was an onus, he's removed from the proceedings. The only one left to give it to is to the renter, and he made a cow out of this. Rav Yossi says, how could it be that I lose the cow and he makes a cow? No way, give it to me. So the Gemara says like this, we'll do it, it'll be 2 minutes.
Who's me? Who does Rav Yossi say give it to?
You give it to the original owner. The original owner started with the cow. When his cow died, he gets the cow back. It's the most, Rav Yossi I think is the most like I'm saying the classic, like what we would call fair. You started with a cow, you rented it to Reuven, Reuven lent it to Shimon, the cow died, Shimon gives the cow back to the original owner. He lost a cow, he gains a cow. According to the Tanakam, according to the Rabbanon, Reuven, the renter, made a cow. It's tough. So the it's a tough visual. So the Gemara just says like this. At what point, again, let's go with the names. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven owns the cow, rents it to Shimon. Shimon lends it to Levi. Cow dies. Reuven goes to Shimon, where's my cow? Shimon says, I swear it was an onus. Bye-bye. Reuven is now removed from the proceedings. Shimon then goes to Levi, the borrower, and says, you owe me a cow. Gives him a cow. He made a cow out of this. That's the Tanakhama sheet. So the Gemara just wants to know, when is the original owner removed from the proceedings? When the oath takes place. So why can't the original owner tell Reuven when he says, where's my cow? Reuven says, I swear it was an onus. Why can't he say, shh, I don't care. Shut up. You quiet. Let's go to Levi. I want to talk to the borrower directly. Meaning, why is that? That shvua sort of removes the original owner. So why can't the original owner say, I'd rather you not swear. I'd rather not deal with the renter. I want to go straight to the borrower. So the Gemara says, When is the original owner removed? B'shvua, with the shvua. So namely maskul seicha. So why can't the original owner tell the renter, dal ant, dal shvua seicha, I don't need you, I don't need shvua, I'm gonna dismiss you. But I'm gonna dismiss you, I'm gonna go directly to the borrower. So amr lei, mi savrit seicha b'shvua de kakani lei. Mishas misu dekani. He says, no, you misunderstand. The lamb, this is very hard to understand. He says, no, the original owner is not removed by the shvua. The original owner is removed when the animal dies. The second the animal dies, and it was an onus, that original owner is gone. Automatically. I'm not sure exactly the lumdus of it, but he's automatically removed. The whole shavu is just to make him happy, but he's actually removed right away. Therefore, the second it dies, and the person who he rented it to, and it was an onus, so he has no claim, he's removed automatically.
Well, the shavu is just that it's an onus.
Correct. But
it's not the cow dying.
Exactly. The cow dying itself exempts him. So therefore, he's automatically removed. There's no one else to deal with, just the renter and the borrower. Borrower pays the renter. Now, what we're going to do until the end of the Amid is very, very simple. Take 3 minutes. This is a classic Gemara. Again, the premise is that when you have a renter that lends it to the borrower and the animal dies with an onus, the borrower gives the item to the renter, not to the original owner. That's the Tanakhama Shita. So the Gemara says, I have a very interesting case. We'll end with this. Amar of Zera.
There are times where the original owner will actually have to give the renter multiple cows. Here's the case. Hey, Chidami. I'm going to go me and Gavin, just keep it easy. I own a cow. You rent the cow for 100 days. Okay? So far, you're just one renter. I, the original owner, I'm like, ah, shoot, I really like that cow. Can I borrow it from you? Can I borrow my own cow from you for 90 days? So, v'hadar shayla minei tishin yomim. So I want to borrow it for 90 days. By the way, stop right here. I, the original owner, am now the owner and the borrower. So here's what happened. If the animal were to die while I, the original owner, while I borrowed it and onus were to happen, you know what were to happen? I'd have to give you a cow because you're the renter. I'd also have to give you a second cow, by the way, to finish your rental fee because you actually rented it for 100 days. I only borrowed it for 90 days. So you're actually 10 days the original renter. So I actually have to supply you two cows. One, because you're a renter for 10 days. But the ikra, I have to give you a second cow. Here's what happened. You rented for 100 days. I borrowed it for 90 days. You come back to me and you're like, I really would like it for 80 of the 90 days. I'd like to re-rent it a second time. And then I'm like, okay, great. Can I borrow it for 70 of the 80 days? And then you say, fine, I'd like to rent it for 60 of the following 70. I say, fine, I'd like to borrow for 50 of the following 60. Every single rental fee is considered a new transaction, and every borrowing is a new borrowing. Therefore, for every time I borrow it, it dies, I'd have to give you another cow. So if the animal were to die, and let's say I borrowed it three times from you, I'd have to give you three cows. And by the way, three more cows to finish the rental, but I have to give you three cows. For every time you rent it from me and for every time I borrow it from you, it's a new zach. So again, so I have a cow, Gavin rents it for 100 days. I borrow it for 90 days. If the animal were to die now, I'd have to give you a cow, even though I'm the owner, I'm almost the borrower. You rent it for 80 days. I'm like, okay, fine, can I borrow it for 70? If the animal were to die now, I'd have to give you two cows, each one for each transaction. Then you say, okay, can I rent it for 60? I say, fine, can I borrow it for 50? Three cows. And so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, for each borrowing, you have to pay a different cow. So that's the Gemara. We'll end with this. I said it's one cow. It just goes from rental to borrow, rental to borrow. Why am I giving multiple cows? The cow's not alive anymore to decide that it's the same cow. Meaning, in other words, we're not looking at it as one cow. You're looking at it as the rental fees. Every single time you rented it, I'll give you an example. I have a cow. Gavin rents it for 100 days for $100. I said, can I borrow for 90? Sure. You give it to me to borrow, and then you say, actually, I need to rent it for 80 days. You're going to give me another fee. You're paying again, and I'm going to borrow it. And you're going to rent it again. For every fee, it's a new transaction. You require a new cow. Says the Gemara, that's Marbar Ravashi is a different take. We'll end with this. His view is no. Ein lo yalein al shtei paris. Chode sheila, chode deschiris. Shum sheila chodehi, shum schiris achodehi. De sheila karna legamri, deschiris avabe yischiris am mahadele lamar. Marbar Ravashi disagrees. He says, I don't care how many times you do this. You give one cow. One cow for every borrowing, and one cow to finish the rental. So in other words, like this. I have a cow. End with this. I have a cow. Gavin rents it for 100 days. I borrow it for 90 days. You rent it for 80. I borrow it for 70. 60, 50, 40, 30. I don't care how many times. Animal dies on my watch. I have to give you one cow because you are the renter. You gained your one cow, like the Mishnah said. And I have to give you a second cow just to finish the rental. The second the rental fee, I get that cow back. I don't care how many times you do it. One rental for all the times. I will stop here. It's a wild concept. But,